Hello again. Welcome to the program. We're continuing in our series, God's Church Manual. We're in 2 Timothy, where in chapter 1 it tells us what we need to think, chapter 2 what we need to be, chapter 3 what we need to know, and chapter 4 what we need to do. Now, what we're going to be and what we're going to know and what we're going to do all rests on the foundation found in chapter 1 is how we're going to think. If we're going to think the right way, we're going to think, teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way, teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Once again, if we will make this our sincere prayer, God will answer it. Let's do that before we look at this message today.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way, teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea. Thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Power, teach me thy love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seems best in thee to find sweet rest. Leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through Savior nigh, teach me to live, to die, saved by thy grace.
There's an interesting phrase here in 2 Timothy 2:8. My gospel. That's what Paul said. He said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Why do you use that phrase? At first glance, this verse does not seem to have anything in common with the context of this portion of Scripture. The key to understanding any verse in the Bible is always to compare Scripture with Scripture. The Bible is the best commentary on itself. Now, in Mark 1 and verse 14, we read the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 10, 5 through 7, we read, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, listen now, here's what he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. That's pretty plain. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so as you go, he said, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The gospel of the kingdom. Now, in Mark 14, verse number 9, this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world. Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 8 and 25, preach the gospel. They preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now, he said, don't take this gospel of the kingdom to those Samaritans. But the gospel that has to do with eternal life was always open to everyone. So that gospel of the kingdom had to do with Israel and the kingdom that they rejected. And they said, no, we will not have this man to reign over us. And they crucified him. But the gospel that has to do with eternal life is to go to everyone, including those Samaritans. And so it's wide open. There's two gospels being preached here in the early part of the New Testament. And one is for Israel only, and one is for whosoever will. We need to understand that the word gospel simply means good news. So he had good news for the children of Israel. He had good news for everybody, every creature, including the Samaritans. In verse 9 through 10, we read, wherein, that means because of what Paul was preaching, he said, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they, Israel, may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now back in Isaiah 45 and 4, God referred to the people of the nation of Israel as Israel, mine elect. In 2 Timothy 2:9, Paul was not referring to people God had elected to save in comparison with those he had only brought into the world to send to hell, as Calvin and those who teach his heresy say. That is heresy. I have a book, you can get it. None dare call it heresy. It's on the whole subject of salvation. It is heresy to say that God brought some people into this world only to send them to hell. That's what Calvinism says. You can read that book if you want. You can buy it on Amazon in Canada or in the United States and go through that subject. He's not referring to people who were so-called elected to be saved. Paul wanted to see the Jewish people saved. In Romans 9, 2 through 5, he said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. Paul said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He wanted his people, the Jewish nation, to receive Christ as their Savior. For the elect's sake, Israel, mine elect. Very important. 2 Timothy 2:11 to 13, for it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we not deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now, I'd like to park on this verse for about a week, but we want to just kind of go through a survey of God's church manual. But these verses tie in with verse 8 and focus on our position in Christ as being dead with him. We live with him. The trials of leadership in the church are only temporary. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. By the way, Jesus said in John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Paul was referring to the Jews who were causing problems in the church that Timothy pastored there at Ephesus. In Acts 15:24, Paul mentioned those that trouble you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law. One reason the church at Ephesus ended up in ruin in only about 40 years was because of all the striving that went on among the members. It was to this group that Paul said, let no corrupt or worthless communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In 1 Timothy 1:4, Paul said, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. In Titus 1:10-11, Paul said, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert the whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. Well, you know, as we said, the local church has got its very positive things, or things we really love, get together and sing together and worship the Lord together and listen to and message together and go for a coffee and talk about Jesus. That's great stuff. But there's also the responsibility of the pastor, Titus 1:10-11, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. That is also the responsibility of the pastor. Once again, let's make this our sincere prayer. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way.
Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart, grant that I never part, Savior, from thee. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best in thee to find sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to saved.